had shown last time, this 34th chapter of the book of Ezekiel is a whole chapter in the Old Testament prophecies about the ministry of the whole nation of God's people, who would neglect the very basic essentials of what every minister is supposed to do. And instead of really feeding the flock, instead of being the ministers, which is a servant, mind you, a servant, a pastor, someone as a shepherd to feed what Jesus calls by analogy the sheep of the flock, not an overlord. When the disciples used to argue about who was in power, who was in control, who would have the chief seat, Jesus said, "It shall not be so among you." He said, "The rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them." He said, "Hold dominion over them." But it shall not be so among you. Whoever will be chiefest among you, let him be your minister. The word minister is not an awesome word. It's not a word of great rank. The word rank is an odor. The word rank rhymes with smell. Rank belongs in the military organizations, not in the ministry. A minister is a pastor. He's a shepherd. He is called the helper of your joy. He is someone who does not get between you and Christ, who doesn't stand between you and Jesus, and you have to go through him to get to Jesus. He's a person who stands beside you and points toward Jesus Christ. In baptizing a person the other day, I merely wanted to make sure he understood something, and so I told him, "Look, let's not get it cluttered up. I'm not baptizing you unto me. You're not being baptized unto Armstrong. You're being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are standing here on this sunny bank near this farm pond out here in this farm in East Texas. And just between you and that God that made that great sun and put it in the sky up there, you're making a deliberate personal decision between you and your God, and it has nothing to do with me. I don't want to clutter it up. I'm not between you and God. You're not being baptized unto me." And he understood it, and I understood that he understood, and so we waited out, and he was baptized. Because Romans 6, Acts 2:38, said he should be. We ought to keep these relationships straight. You do not need any human priest. You do not need some human being dressed up in this or that or the other way. You don't need someone wielding great power and authority over you with some threat over your salvation and eternal life to be able to reach Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is your high priest, who loves you and gave himself for you. A minister should be the helper of your joy. He should be a companion in tribulation, someone who is strong to lean on and to ask for advice. But never anyone who is, quote, over you in the sense of being a brutal or a threatening or an awesome, rank-conscious person who puts you down, who threatens you, who warns you, who kind of corrals you and keeps you under his control. There's a great difference in attitude, in approach. In the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, last time we saw that there is a great indictment against those who would mix this all up and begin to think that the flock are to be ravaged, that they are to be basically exploited, that instead of being served and helped and given to, they are to be exploited. Notice in verse 2, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus says the Lord Eternal of the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill them that are fed, and you feed not the flock. The diseased you have not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away." Now that's an analogy of a shepherd over a flock of sheep, talking about binding up that which was broken, meaning picking up a lamb that caught its foot or its leg in a ditch somewhere and carefully putting a splint on it. The disease not being strengthened, same comment. A sick sheep, and you try to worm it, you try to do whatever's necessary. But it's talking about the way a person would conduct himself toward people who believe because he's pointed the way. It goes on to say, "Neither have you sought that which was lost." Now, in one sense, there's a direct representation of what Jesus said to the disciples. He said, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And oftentimes people have not sought to find out where are those so-called lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, "But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. They were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat unto all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. He shows his sheep, as it were, wandering about the mountains and having no shepherds to help them. Finally, the promise was given back in verse 13 of that chapter, I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel. Later on, he said he would raise up the kind of a shepherd who would do the job. He said in verse 23, and this has to be referring to the great resurrection of 1 Corinthians 15, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Now, this is speaking as much about the physical, political entities, the nations of Israel, as it is about the church. It's speaking of both, because there is duality in the meaning. But here he's also talking about the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and their shepherds would be the government leaders, the people who form and shape public opinion, leaders in any capacity, whether state or federal, local, county government, and ministers, pastors, and teachers, people who influence people's minds. In the 13th chapter of Ezekiel, there's another prophecy about the prophets of Israel. It says in verse 2, Son of Man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear you the word of the Eternal. Thus says the Lord Eternal, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit, their own ideas, their own minds and perceptions, and have seen nothing. He said a little later on, Mine hand will be upon the prophets that see, verse 9 of chapter 13 of Ezekiel, that see vanity, and the divine, that is discern or conjure up, lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Eternal, because they have seduced my people, saying, Peace, and there was no peace. Now, what is the message you hear most places? I don't want to put anybody down. I know that millions of people enjoy a lot of these TV shows with the happy sounds, with the entertainment, with the good music, sometimes great music. And if you think some of those beautiful quartets and some of the soloists and so on and some of the instrumentalists are not talented folks, they sure are. And it's all very happy, happy, happy. And that's good, so far as it goes. But what is the commission, the warning, the message to the watchmen of the house of Israel but that they ought to see and to understand what is happening in world conditions and to warn us about what is coming? And I have to ask, what is the relationship between all this talk of peace and the ominous portent for world war? When are we going to face reality?